Chad pastors Zoe Church in Los Angeles, an influential church, an amazing church, making a massive difference in that area of the country and really the entire country. So here's what I want you to do. I want you guys to stand up and give Pastor Chad Veach a huge Citizen Church welcome to the stage.
Well, come on, let's give Jesus a clap of praise today. Come on, we can be louder than that. We're clapping for Jesus today. Amen and amen. Wow, you can be seated today. I feel socially awkward. Keyboard player, you can definitely keep playing so you make me sound awesome. Don't leave me, keyboard player. I feel socially awkward. I haven't been to church with people in since March. I almost started to cry when we worshiped. This is incredible, but I'm really, really grateful. Like Pastor Dustin was saying, I really don't feel like a guest anymore. This is like family. And so I just want to say thank you for being who you are. I think the best days are still ahead for this church. Come on, let's clap if you're grateful that you're in a really, really good church. Keep clapping if you love your pastors today. We are amongst greatness today, and we honor the founding pastors. We love you guys. We are so grateful for your lives, your leadership. You guys are just as sweet and kind as they come. Let's clap for the founding pastors today, Pastor Galen Kay. We love them so much. And then they hand it off to the next generation, and it only gets better. Better looking, better preaching. Just not when it comes to golf. Chad, that's another subject. We played golf yesterday, and we need to send your prayers towards us. We need all the prayers we can get, but we love you guys so much. And just seeing the video of the women's conference, it looked fantastic. But no surprise, because everything you guys do is world class. Everything you guys do is filled with excellence, filled with faith, and such an investment. Thank you so much for who you guys are. Anybody excited about these guys going to D.C.? Unbelievable. We're so excited for you guys, and we're going to send money. We're going to be with you guys heart and soul, and we just believe in the gift and the call. I was thinking yesterday about this picture. I have this image in my head of you guys. I don't know what venue it was, but like over 1,000 something college age students in some venue, and you guys, the investment that you've made, what you've sowed here, you're going to reap there. And I know God's going to do great things through your life, through your ministry. The best is yet to come. Come on, clap with faith if you're excited about what God's going to do in ABQ and in D.C. Y'all need to slow down. I'm just going to be honest. Y'all need to slow down. And who would have thought from Albuquerque we would be in D.C. and Maui, okay? Nobody saw it coming. Ain't no prophet in the church that's like, I see D.C., I see Maui. You a liar. You didn't see none of it coming. What kind of a church from New Mexico gets called to Maui? Somebody went on vacation and was like, Jesus is calling me here. It's like, yeah, of course he is. The shaved ice is talking to me. No, you need to chill out. But it's awesome to see the expansion. And just remember this. If you can steward well and stay big in your perspective, big in your soul and your spirit, you won't just have D.C. or Maui. Maybe God will just keep birthing things out of you. Right? Remember, the Bible says literally kings could come from you. And we're believing that for your life. Amen. Let's clap one more time if you're filled with faith and excited. I just missed the sound of clapping, so I'm going to make you clap 50 times this message. I'm usually like looking at a camera like, I believe you're having fun on the other side of the screen. It is awesome to be here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chad. I have a beautiful wife who is here. Keyboard player, don't leave me. I have a beautiful wife, Julia. My man, stop. Like, he's on break. We're not on break right now. My wife is here. We have 4 kids. We're going from the evens to the odds. We're about to be at 3, 5, 7, and 9. And so, it's been hell. I'm kidding. we're having fun once a week. And we're enjoying that part of life every once in a while. But we have 4 kids, and we live in Los Angeles, and God has been really good to us. We just celebrated yesterday. We fed, during the pandemic, over 23,000 people. We have fed and given groceries to in the midst of COVID, so we're really excited about what's happened in L.A. And I'm going to preach in just a moment, but I got to tell you, we just put out a brand new book called Help, I Work With People. Anybody work with people and you ever need some help? Like, wow, this is interesting. Help, I work with four kids, ages 3, 5, 7, and 9. But if you want to pick it up, I think there's some in the lobby, or you can go to Amazon where you can buy anything in the whole world and the book is there. But I want to encourage you to pick up a copy, and it will help you in your, not just customer service, but really your heart and your attitude with people. So I believe this, you can't do life well if you do people wrong. If you're doing people wrong, you're doing life wrong. But we got to learn how to relate and love people. And the more we love people, the more life goes really, really well. My man right here in the Laker jersey absolutely gets that. And my man in the Green Bay Packers jersey, I don't know. Pick up the book. I'm kidding. Go Seahawks. Okay. Go Cowboys, only because I love Pastor Dustin so much. Okay, go in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to jump in. You are good now, my man. I'm going to bring you back. 1 Kings chapter 18, go to verse 41, and I'm going to jump in. We have been talking in LA about the power of prayer. Anybody believe today in the power of prayer? This is somewhat encouraging. Six people are, like, believing in it. I want to remind you what prayer is. Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer, sometimes we talk about prayer and it's like intimidating. Prayer is just a vehicle. Prayer is a vehicle that takes you to God. We don't worship or glorify prayer because prayer is just a car. It is just a vehicle. Right now in LA, it is very hard to get an Uber. It's hard to get an Uber because there's not a lot of people driving Ubers. Usually, I take a run from my house. It's a 3-mile run. I live on the top of a hill. I run down the hill to a coffee shop, and I order my coffees, and I get an Uber, and I go back up the hill. I'm not running back up that thing, okay? Usually, I come down, I finish my 3 miles, I go up, I get my coffees, and once I get my coffees, I order the Uber, and the Uber's there in like 0.2 seconds, and I get in the Uber. Now, during the pandemic, there's no Ubers driving, so I run down the hill, I order the Uber, it's going to take 15 minutes, I get my coffees, I sit there, I drink them, I make a couple calls, and after 15 minutes, I get in the Uber, and it takes me back to my house. I want to tell you, prayer is a vehicle that takes you from where you are to where you need to be. You are in stress, it takes you into comfort. You are in despair, it takes you into faith. You are filled with anxiety, it takes you into peace. It takes you from where you are to where you need to be. It's amazing. The disciples spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And after 3.5 years, the only thing that fascinated them, the only thing that they asked him how they could do was pray. It wasn't walking on water or turning water into wine or healing blind people, deaf people, mute people, or even dead people. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because I believe in the power of prayer. Anybody else? The power of a praying parent. The power of a praying spouse, the power of a praying friend, the power of a praying boss. I want to convince you today, you need to pray. When I was growing up, we used to listen to MC Hammer. Where the MC Hammer fans at today? MC Hammer, before he had Too Legit to Quit, MC Hammer had a song called We Need to Pray Just to Make It Today. He'd be in the MC Hammer pants, be like, hey, we need to pray. Listen, parent, you need to pray just to make it today. I want to convince you over your spouse. Some of you are here and your spouse is not. We applaud and salute you, and we have so much respect and honor for you, and our faith is with you that your spouse is going to come into faith, and your partner is going to come into faith, and we're going to believe together. Come on, clap a little louder, church. We're believing for your husband to get saved. I had a mom that prayed. Anybody had a mom that prayed? My mom prayed. My mom is Mexican, okay? And my mom, she'd write every day. I'd get into my lunchroom, and I would open up my brown paper sack lunch, Capri Sun, sandwich cut in half. That's how you know your mom loves you. Granola bar, fruit. It'd all be there. And my mom would write a letter, a prayer letter, every day at lunch. And she would write. It would start the same way every day. Mijo. I love you. And she would write out a prayer and a psalm over my life. XOXOXO, mom. My mom prayed for me. My mom covered me in prayer. I'm thankful today that I'm a part of a praying church. I'm thankful today that we are praying for our nation. We are praying for the election. Come on, somebody thank God today. He is who he says he is. He can do what he said he would do. Clap a little louder if you believe in prayer. I want to convince you today, you're too busy not to pray. You got too much going on in your life. You got too many things pending, too many things that are unfolding in your world. You need to pray. I don't care how you pray. I just care that you do pray. I don't care when you pray. I just care that you do pray. Prayer changes things, mainly me. It's not always that my mountain moves. It's not always that the situation changes. I am changed. My perspective, my why, my premise, my patience. It is the power of prayer. The disciples look at Jesus and they're like, I don't think we could walk on water. And if I could turn some water into some Cabernet, that'd be awesome. But can you teach me how to pray? And Jesus is like, for sure. Come on over here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is thy kingdom and thy glory and thy power forever. Somebody say amen. It's prayer. 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 I want to convince you, parent, pray over your children. Pray over your home. You got to walk through your house, turn on some Hillsongs and some Bethels. I don't care what you need. Get some Maverick Cities flowing in that thing and just start praying over your house. I rebuke any evil spirit. I rebuke any demonic spirit, any division that's in my home, anything that would mess with the harmony and the unity of my house. I declare in the Jesus' name, it's got to go. This is just my intro. Some people are ready to leave and go home and pray. I say all that to say, to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, if you don't know much about the Bible and you're new to faith, we are so excited you're here today. I'm going to try and dumb it down as best as I can so we are all encouraged today. 1 Kings chapter 18, this is Old Testament, so this is before Jesus. This is before the cross and before grace. This is Old Testament. There was a prophet named Elijah, and this sucker was bad. This guy was unbelievable. He could move mountains. In fact, Elijah's so good, he's so powerful. The Israelites had turned their back on God, and Elijah says, there's going to be a drought here for 3 years. Because you are unfaithful, because you don't follow God, I'm going to put a drought on you for 3 years. Anybody thankful that we are under the cross and under grace, and when you are faithless, God is still faithful right now? Anybody thankful that when you turn your back on God, he does not turn his back on you? Somebody clap and thank God that we are not under the Old Testament anymore. We are in grace. So they get a drought for 3 years. This drought comes, and Elijah's, he's like, you guys turn your back on God. We're going to get you right. This is religion, by the way. This is the law. So he says, you're under a drought. Well, right towards the end of the drought, Elijah, because he's powerful, he's a man of God, he's a prophet, he comes up against all these false prophets. Long story short, he pulls out all these prophets of Baal, these prophets that, you know, don't serve our God, and he comes to them, and he battles them. And he says, okay, all y'all, hundreds of them, one of this guy. He says, okay, let's go right now. We're going to battle. And so, long story short, their God doesn't show up. He starts to taunt them. He's like, where's your God? Is he on the toilet? Where's your God? Is he taking a nap? Where's your God? Is he snoozing? And he taunts them. But when it's his turn, he puts out a sacrifice, and he says, God, I need you here and now, and God answers his prayer immediately. I want to show you today, sometimes God will answer your prayer right away, and other times God will take 5 years, 10 years, sometimes 20 years to answer your prayers. We don't know why sometimes he answers right away, and we don't know why sometimes he delays. I just want to tell you, he is never too early, and he is never too late. He is an on-time God. That's why the Bible says his ways are above your ways, his thoughts are above your thoughts, so we're just going to trust God. He has perfect timing. Sometimes he answers it. I'll never forget growing up, my mom, we would be like pulling up to the mall and my mom would be like, Jesus, we need a parking spot right now. And we find a parking spot. She's like, God is good. Answer my prayer. And like, Mom, I think that's just a coincidence. I don't think you give God the glory. Just that person backed out and left and you pulled in. That's not God. Sometimes God answers prayers right away. And sometimes there's a delay. So Elijah prays and the fire is consumed. And the prophets of Baal leave. And Elijah steps into the end of the three-year drought. 3 years there's been no rain. Elijah called for it. Now he's about to usher in rain. Watch here what it says, 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant replied, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Oh, I love Elijah because before he can see it, he can hear it. He says, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. I hear the sound. Listen, we are faith people, which means we don't go by what we see. We go by what we hear. We hear God saying something better. We hear heaven declaring something better. Come on, over your business, over our nation, over your children, over your spouse. Somebody clap a little bit louder if you can hear heaven saying something bigger and saying something better. Don't let that teacher speak death over your children. You hear the sound of heaven over your child. Don't let that bully say something terrible over your kid. You say something better. Elijah said, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. There was no rain. He could hear it in his spirit. What is God saying to you today? Maybe God's talking to you about your money. Maybe God's talking to you about your business. Maybe he's talking to you about your geography. Let's just know this. God talks. God speaks. The Bible speaks. The Spirit of God speaks. He says, I hear the sound of a mighty rain. What is God saying today? What is he speaking over your life? What do you hear in your spirit? I want to tell you, it is not bad pizza. It is not something that you ate last night. It is God. Elijah said, I hear this. I hear it in my spirit. I hear the sound. We've been in a three-year drought, but I hear the sound of a heavier. I hear something in my gut. He climbs up the top of Mount Carmel, and he puts his, I loved Elijah. Elijah puts his head in between his, this is like a yoga position before there was yoga instructors. He said, we're going to do some downward dog praying today. I don't care. Listen, I heard Billy Graham say, it is not the physical posture of our bodies that matter when we pray. It is the attitude of our heart that matters when we pray. I don't care if you kneel. I don't care if you walk. I don't care if you write it out. Some of you need to start a contact in your phone. Call it God and start texting out your prayers. It doesn't matter the physical posture. It matters the attitude of your heart. Elijah said, I got to pray right now. He put his head between his knees. He started praying and he sent his servant. He said, I want you to go and look out the sea and tell me what you see. Now remember, he's already heard it in his spirit. So he's expecting the servant to come back with a good report. Go see. The servant goes, this is my servant run. He goes, he comes back. Hey, man of God, Pastor so-and-so, there is nothing. You ever prayed and you get a there is nothing? You know, you're expecting, you ever check your email inbox like, it's going to be in here now, and there is nothing? I want to preach to some people that feel like you're in a there is nothing season. Because God is not a man that he would lie. God gave you that vision. He gave you that dream. He gave you that word. He gave you that promise. Just because there is nothing doesn't mean God can't do something. There is nothing right now, but listen, today we're going to seek first the kingdom of God. There is nothing right now. You might see nothing in your family. You might see nothing in your future. There's nothing in your bank account. There's nothing in America. There's nothing going on in the church right now. No. We believe by faith. The just shall live by faith. We don't go by what we see. We go by what we hear. I hear the sound of faith. I hear the sound of heavy rain. I hear the sound of heaven. I hear the sound of revival. Oh, but there's wickedness and perversion and corruption. I hear God saying something bigger.
How'd you like to be the servant? Hey, sir, man of God, that hears from God, straight from God. There is nothing. In Spanish, nadie. And so Elijah, watch. This is the power of prayer. Elijah keeps his head between his knees, and he starts praying, and he says, go again. Go again 7 times. I wonder if a lot of us are stuck in a place because we stopped at the first, the second, the fourth, or the fifth time. But the Bible says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's the power of persistent prayer. It's the power of covering and saying, I don't care if there's nothing. We're going to go again. Come on, somebody clap today if you're down to go again. Pray again for your children. Pray again for our nation. Pray again for your spouse. Pray again for our church. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep asking. We're going to keep knocking. We're going to keep pressing. And we're not going to go over here getting tired like, yo, there was nothing yesterday. Okay, nothing again. Okay. No, the servant went. It's going to be here now. It's going to be here today. We're expecting God to show up. God will always meet you at the level of your expectation. What do you expect from God today? Do you expect God's best or do you expect God's worst? Because the servant was walking. It's going to be here now. It's not here now. That's fine. Okay, sir. Again, nothing. What do you want me to do? You want me to go get it? Okay, well, all right, it's going to be here this time. See, some of us, we go so much off of our feelings and not off of our faith. There is nothing. Go again. He sends them 7 times. This is my favorite part right here. I'm going to yell again for sure. Finally, 7th time, he comes back. And he comes back to Elijah, and he goes, Elijah. There is one cloud. I see something rising. It is the size of a man's hand. I don't know if you know, you got big hands. I got piano player hands, okay? Don't judge me. But he says, there's one cloud. It is the size of a man's hand. But my favorite phrase out of the whole story is something's rising. Something, there's a glimmer of hope, he says. Something, it's only the size right now of a man's hand, but there's something there. I see hope in that marriage. I see hope in my entrepreneur business. I see hope in this situation. There's hope from the doctor. There's hope with my child. It's the size of a man's hand. Listen, I believe something's rising today. Something's rising in your spirit. Something's rising in this church. Something's rising in our nation. Clap with some faith today if you believe something's rising. Come on, give them a rising faith clap today. Something's on the rise. Listen, anything great first started small. We look at the grandiose, but listen, that's why the Bible says don't despise small beginnings. It started just with an idea. It started with a conversation. It started with a text message, but it turned into something powerful. There is a sign. Something is rising. Something, Elijah knows how God works. Watch what Elijah says. Look at verse 44 at the end. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It might be the size of a man's hand, but this thing's about to pour and this thing's about to rain and you won't be able to handle the rain. Listen, something is rising in your spirit right now. Don't look at the size of it right now. Don't look at the situation. Know that God is going to do the impossible. Elijah knows how God works. And he says, well, if it's the size of a man's hand right now, by the time God gets a hold of it, it's going to be thunderous rain. It's going to be power. Ahab better get his chariot and get out of here, because this thing's about, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. I knew that God spoke to me. I knew his word is true. I knew his promises are yes and amen. I heard the sound, and now there's a cloud. Tell Ahab, hitch up that chariot, boy. This thing's about to pour. God is so good. Something is rising. What is rising in you today? What is God birthing? God is always trying to bring death to the flesh in our life and bring birth to the spirit in our life. What's dying today? What's dying today? I want to give you three things to write down today. Write down number one. I pray these things encourage you. It's okay to keep praying. I want to give you a pass today. It's okay to keep praying. In Los Angeles, we have Disneyland. We are the host. We are the home to Mickey and Minnie. We have Disneyland. It's been closed since March, but we have Disneyland. And I can't wait for it to open again, because the churros are straight from heaven. It is like manna, daily manna at the churros at Disneyland. And so, but when you go to Disneyland, have y'all ever used a fast pass before? The fast pass is genius, you know, because the Pirates of the Caribbean is going to cost you 90 minutes. But if you get the fast pass, you can come back in a couple hours and you can walk straight onto the ride. It's a fast pass. I want to give you a pass today to keep on praying, because some of us were so discouraged by the second time or the fourth time we stopped. But I want to just encourage you, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. What could God do in this situation? Just some of you are like, well, maybe I don't want to force it. Maybe I misheard. Maybe it's not God. No, no, no. Keep on asking. Look at this in Luke 18. One day, Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and to never stop to lose hope. He shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a civil judge, a thick-skinned and godless man who had no fear of others' opinions. And there was a poor widow in that town who kept pleading with the judge, grant me justice and protect me against my oppressor. He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking. Eventually, he said to himself, though I am not a religious man, so Jesus is talking about people of the world. I'm not a religious man and don't care about the opinions of others. I'll just get her off of my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor. Then she'll leave me alone. The Lord continued, did you hear what the ungodly judge said? That he would answer her persistent requests? Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? I just want to remind you what prayer looks like. Prayer looks like morning, noon, and night. In the morning time, I wake up and I say, God, thank you for today. I want to tell you I'm surrendered to you. I receive your love today. I receive your grace. Middle of the day, you could be in the car and just be like, God, I love you. Thank you for being so good. At the nighttime, God, I thank you for today. Thank you for everything that happened. I serve you. I love you. It is a morning, noon, and nighttime thing. He says to him night and day, he will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people? Will he find persistent prayers? I know some people that couldn't get pregnant for over 10 years, and then all of a sudden they have twins. I'm talking about persistent prayer. I know some people that prayed over things and asked God 15, 20 years, and they're weeping because they've been praying for something for 20 years. Can you labor in prayer for just a little longer and keep going and keep asking? I want to give you a pass today. It's okay to keep asking. It works for my son. My son would be like, Dad, can I have this? I'm like, absolutely not. Comes back, he's like, Dad, can I eat this? I'm like, what did I say, man? No. Comes back again, he's like, Dad, can I eat this? I'm like, yes, get out of here. I'm sick of it. Sick of the suffering. Eat whatever you want. The whole cupboard's yours. It's okay to keep asking. It's okay to keep asking. It's okay. I know you Some of the reasons why people don't pray is because they don't know how to pray. Some of the reasons why people don't pray is because they prayed and God didn't answer their prayer. I want to just encourage you today. If God didn't answer your prayer, maybe you need to go again. Maybe you need to go again and ask God to show up in the situation that is near and dear to your heart. Jesus goes, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find persistent prayers? I want to encourage you, if it takes 1 year, so be it. If it takes five, who cares? If it takes 10 years, we're going to keep going with expectation that God will show up and be faithful in our families, faithful in our church, and faithful in our lives. Number two, write this down. Lift up your requests. Just lift it up. The Bible says we cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. So what are you concerned about? What's stressing you out right now? The Bible literally says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. There is nothing in your life right now that God's like, you know what? I'd be freaked out if I were you. You know what? I'm just going to be honest. You should hit the panic button. You should totally lose your mind. You should totally use drugs. You should totally self-medicate. I'm not big enough to solve that. There is nothing in your life. God's like, yep, freak out. I'm not big enough. No. God's like, cast it all. Bring in all your burdens, all your complaints, all your issues. Bring them to me. God is the God that says, bring me your worst. I'll give you my best. He just exchanges it. All your garbage, all your junk, all your issues, all your concerns, cast them on God. He cares for you. And the blessing can't come down until the prayer goes up. Lift up your requests. What's your request today? Bring it to God. Look at Psalm 141. Oh, I love this scripture. I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. I was walking through a hotel lobby the other day, and I walked in. I was like, wow, that is a good smell. You ever smell something so good, you just like, what is that? It's like, that is the one. Whoa. And I was with some of our team. They're like, the reason why you like this hotel lobby smell so much is because we ripped off this hotel lobby smell and we pumped that into our church. And that's like the smell of your church. That's why you love your own smell is what you're saying. It's like, that's right. That's why we did that, because I love it. Love that smell. That is though, you know, when you pray, it is like sweet incense before the Lord. God can't get enough of your prayers. See, we think that God's like American Airlines customer service. Oh, what are you doing up here? Another complaint. Here we go again. Oh, let me guess. Same issue as yesterday. You're here again. God's like, I can't get enough. Like, I actually can't get enough. Like, I can't get enough. Well, it's not even the request. It's more the relationship. Because this keeps you broken and humble and, well, let's be honest, dependent upon me. And I love being in communion. I love being in relationship. We don't serve the God of religion. We serve the God of relationship. And God says, let requests. I'm for you. I'm with you. I can fight your battle. I'm a good God. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I did it over there, I could do it right here. If I did it back then, I could do it right now. If I did it for them, I could do it for you. What do you need? What's your request? Let your request be made known to God. Let your request, just bring your request to God. Just say, God, I'm overwhelmed. I am stressed. I am confused. I am frustrated. I feel like quitting. God's like, bring all your junk. I'll give you strength. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you joy. I'll give you perseverance. What do you need from God? It's everything you need, he has. He is who you need him to be. He is whatever you need. He has it. He has it and he is. So we let our requests be made known to God. And the third and the final thing, you can write this down. Keyboard player, come back up and make me sound awesome. Last one, number three, write this down. Don't quit until you get a no. Don't quit praying until you, listen, keep going. Keep looking for that cloud. Keep praying until God says no. And if he says no, all right, all bets are off.
If he says no, all right, I'm moving on. We are not masters of manipulation in prayer. We are not praying to force our will on God. It's not it's not our will be done, it's his will be done. That's why when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, you ought to pray like this. God, you're good. Our Father who art in heaven. What is he teaching them? Praise before petition. Before we ask God for anything, we praise God for everything. This is just simple people skills. My dad's a pastor, and when I wanted to go sleep over at my friend's house, I would come to my dad and be like, Dad, wow, you look good. Dang, preached incredible Sunday. Unbelievable golf score. Heard you did great. Dad, can I go stay over at Johnny's? Praise before petition. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. It's about what you want, God. Prayer is not about you forcing your agenda into God's will. Prayer is about you being soft and humble and receptive before God to say, God, it's not about what I want. It's all about what you want. So pray until you get a no. And when God gives you a no, you go, okay, you're the boss. You're in control. You know what I don't know. Can we just thank God for all the prayers he did not answer? Can we just thank him today for all the stuff that we wanted and we thought was best? Come on, clap a little bit louder. Some of you would have been married to some knucklehead jokers. You ever run into somebody 10 years later and you're like, OMG! Thank you, Jesus, that you rescued me from Ralph. Ralph wrecks the internet? Yeah, right. Ralph would have wrecked my life. Thank you, God, for the prayers you did not answer. Thank you, God, that you know best. Thank you, God, that you can see the end from the beginning. Thank you, God, that you're the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you, God, that you are for me when everybody else is against me. Thank you, God, that you see my prayer. You see my cry. Somebody clap today and thank him because there's so much prayer he did not answer. We're here today. Some of us should be dead right now, literally dead, like legit dead right now. You should be dead and gone. But by the grace of God, you're in church today. By the grace of God, you're tuning in online. By the grace of God, you are where you are. Thank him for the prayers he did. Thank you for the stuff he said no to. Nope, 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 nope. God, why? He doesn't need to tell you why. He knows better. He's got better plans. It's his will, not yours. I love Paul. Paul the apostle comes before God, and he's like, God, I've got this thorn in my flesh. You got to take it out. And watch God's no from heaven. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three times I begged the Lord, take it away. And each time he said to me, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. What are you carrying today that you're like, God, I don't want to carry this thing. And God's like, I'm sorry. This is going to keep you dependent upon me. My grace is sufficient for you. My power works great in weak people. And when you are weak, I'll make you strong. When you are broken, I will bind you and heal you back together. Thank him for the prayers he did not answer. He didn't just do this with Paul. He did this with Jesus. God said no to his son. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus led his crew to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, come on, guys, we're going to pray. I taught you how to pray. We're going to pray right now. This is a moment that's critical in our prayer life. And he goes away a little further, and he's praying, and he's going, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go suffer. I don't want to go to the cross. And he comes back, and he says, oh, come on, guys. Really? You're sleeping on the job? And he says the words that you need to understand about your prayer life. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hear me today, man of God, your spirit wants to pray. Come on, mom, your spirit wants to pray. Don't give in to the flesh. We are not ruled by the flesh. We're not a slave to the flesh. We're a slave to the spirit of God. Your spirit wants to pray. What would this week look like if you went on a prayer walk? What would this week look like if you set your alarm 30 minutes earlier and just got around your house and walked around it and prayed? This house will serve God. This house will be filled with joy. This house is going to love. This house is in unity. This house is blessed. This house is going to do great things. What would it look like if we did not give into the flesh but gave into the spirit?
And he keeps going back, and three times he prays, and he says, Father, I get it. Not my will, but your will be done. And heaven gave Jesus a no and said yes to the cross and no to his prayer. Keep praying until you get a no. And when you get a no, even if it's the cross, go. Even if it's not what you want, give it. Sow it, love it, help it, serve it, build it, whatever it is. It's not about my agenda, it's about God's agenda. Prayer is not me getting into my Aladdin genie bottle so I can make my wish list come true. Prayer is about me humbling before God and saying, Lord, I am your servant, your kingdom come, your will be done. Come on, stand to your feet today. The Bible says that God wants people to pray everywhere without wrath or doubting, to lift up holy hands. Your hands are holy before God. Your hands bring blessing to people. That's why our hands were not meant to strike. Our hands were meant to bless. I want you to lift a hand before heaven right now. Just lift up a holy hand. It's a holy hand. I want you to right now just think of your requests. Think about your requests. Just lift your hand to heaven like God, your judge, your father, your provider can help you with something. Come on, lift up your prayer right now. What is it? What is it? What is it? Lift up your prayer right now. Come on, let's just ask God for whatever you need, whatever your home needs, whatever your family needs. Come on, it's a hand of faith right now. It's a hand of declaration. What is it? Money? God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Is it healing? By his stripes we are healed. Is it deliverance? Our God died on a cross so that you could be set free from any bondage or any yoke right now in Jesus' name. Oh, come on. Let's lift both our hands and let's worship God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing. Hallelujah. He's never going to give up. Come on, let's sing it out. You'll never give up on me, God. Hey! I'll sing it again. His love. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it one more time. Sing it with faith today. It's never going to give up. He is a faithful God, listening to his children's cries. Sound of heavy rain. We receive the prophetic utterance. What are you doing, God? I know we can't see it yet. I know we don't know it yet, God. But let us hear you speak loud and clear today. The sound of heavy rain. Something is rising. Something is on the rise. Something's rising in the marriages of this church. Something's rising in our country today. Something's on the rise. Dreams, visions, new territory, new ground, new ideas, new idea, creativity. Something's rising today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's clap and thank God. Let's thank God today. I forgot to give you the title to my message today. The title of my message today is called The Cycle of Prayer. Because prayer is ask, watch, wait, repeat. It's the cycle of prayer. Ask, watch, wait, repeat. And maybe God's putting you in the cycle today. If you're down to just say, I'm going to ask, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to wait, lift your hand right now. I'm going to get in the cycle of prayer, the cycle of prayer. God, you see every hand.
You see every heart. You see every request. Thank you for the past so that we could pray. Thank you, God. We're lifting requests today. And we're going to pray until we get a no. We're going to ask. We're going to watch. And we're going to wait. And we will repeat. In Jesus' name, you can put your hand down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you've never said yes to grace. Again, we talked about a story out of the Old Testament from the prophet Elijah before Jesus. But thank God Jesus prayed in that garden and said yes to the Father's will. Because God said no to his son's prayer and sent him to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And on that cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, your past, present, and your future sins. He purchased your salvation. And all you have to do to go to heaven or to be saved is receive the love of Jesus. Say yes to the good news of the gospel of grace. I'm going to count to three. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, lift up your hand and say yes to receive the gift of salvation today. One, two, three. Come on, lift up your hand. Say yes. Yes. Come on, hands all over the room. Hands online right now. People in their home, living rooms right now. In Maui, people are saying yes to Jesus. Yes, yes. Come on, church, let's say this together. Say, Father God, thank you today for the grace that is in Jesus. I receive his love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Come on, let's clap for every person that said yes to Jesus today. Come on, right there in your home, we're clapping and celebrating with you. You just got saved. It's beautiful. Pastor Dustin's going to come and bring some more explanation of what to do after this, but I want to tell you, church, we're just getting started. Let me just say something to the church, because I could tell a lot of families, a lot of parents are feeling this message today. And it's a word for many of us in the season that you're in. But I want to just speak to the church. There's power in a praying church. In the only time we see in all of Scripture where Jesus gets angry, he walks into a church on a Sunday. And they're not praying. And he turns tables. And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Every great church I know on the earth that makes an impact in D.C., Maui, and around the nations is a praying church. And so this word is not just for our homes, it's for the church. That what would God do in Albuquerque if we prayed? I was so convicted by this message, I started a prayer meeting at 6 a.m. in L.A. Anybody that wants to come pray with me at 6 in the morning, and people are showing up in the droves, praying at 6 in the morning. And I say that to manipulate Pastor Dustin. Come on, I'm kidding. It's a joke. But what I'm saying to you is this. We can't pray for us and not pray for us. You want to do great things? Pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastors. Pray for Albuquerque, your city. Pray for your nation and pray for your church. That we're a blessed church. We're a kingdom-minded church. We're a church that's filled with resources for the poor, the needy, the broken, the imprisoned. And you pray for your church and God will do great things. Amen to that? Come on, clap if you're in faith today. In Jesus' name.